to the 13th chapter of the book of Romans. Romans chapter 13. And we are going to answer a question tonight, as we so often do. Question I ask this morning, could God make a mistake? Sometimes we think so. Sometimes we think that God has really made a boo-boo, because it's not working out so good for us. At least we think so. You know, there are times for all of us when we wonder why God would say some of the things he says in his word, and some of the thoughts that he must be having about situations that we find ourselves in. And so I would like to right now read the first seven verses of Romans chapter 13, because it says an awful lot, and this is what we're going to be looking at tonight. Romans chapter 13, the first seven verses. And this says, now this isn't a suggestion, by the way. This is a command. It's in the imperative. Do it. So here it is, Romans 13, 1 through 7. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. I'm going to pause right there in our reading of those seven verses and sort of break them up. And let's just look at what I've just read. These verses are clearly a part of God's word. Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote these words to the Romans because he was concerned for the Romans. He loved the Roman people. He loved the Roman church. Now, to understand what he was saying, we need to look at this passage from God's perspective, not just from our own perspective, but from God's perspective. Why would God put in charge of China such a wicked man? Yet God is the one who put him there. And hundreds of thousands are suffering because God put that man in China. Literally, millions of people are disappearing because they're not in agreement with him. They're winding up in concentration camps just because they contradict some of the things that he's saying. And we have at least one of our couples ministering in China, and they have ministered there now for 3 years, risking their lives every time they share the gospel with some stranger, because that stranger may be someone that's part of the communist government. There have been times when he has preached in church, and when he is done, they are ready to go home, and someone will come and tell them, get out of here, don't go home. Go hide, because the police are on their way. Somebody within the congregation has gone and told them what we're doing. And the very pastor of the church where he was preaching was arrested that night, and his wife. But why would God, if this is true, why would God do that? there's a fella by the name of Putin in charge of Russia. And God has put him there. According to what this says, the powers that be are ordained of God. Now, yes, I'm preaching this message for a very good reason tonight, because we have Tuesday night coming. And we don't know what's going to happen, but we do know this. Whatever happens, God ordains it. And so we don't want to resist God. We need to understand that if you are living your life for the Lord, you may not be in agreement with the direction that God takes you or that your government takes you, but God has ordained it. And some of us may be asking ourselves on Wednesday morning, did God make a mistake? You remember who wrote these words to the Romans? It was by the Apostle Paul, who spent his life in service for the Lord, and then was arrested in Jerusalem for preaching the gospel by the Roman authorities. Remember, he wrote this to the church at Rome. The Roman authorities arrested him, transported him to Rome, and he spent the last few years of his life in prison awaiting execution for the very words that he wrote. Now think about that. Could God make a mistake? Now, Becky and I were talking this morning a little bit before the service, and she says, if you're going to kill her quick. she wants them to use a large caliber, and, you know. And that's, folks, that's the way a lot of us are. We're not afraid to die. We're just afraid of the process. We want it to be quick, you know, not dragged over weeks, not dragged over months. But there are brothers and sisters all over the world who are experiencing this for months, for years. And they are experiencing it because God has ordained it for a purpose. Now, verse 1 tells us that God himself ordained that the ruler be in place where he is. And that it was part of God's purpose to place him there to do what God wanted done at the time. Now, I do want to say this, so don't get the wrong idea and say, well, pastor's preaching heresy. God cannot do wickedness. God cannot sin. He can have nothing to do with sin. Now, he may ordain someone to be in a position where they commit sin, but God is not ordaining the sin. He ordained the person. And it was the person who'd made the decision to sin, not God. God cannot sin, and God will not sin, because God is holy. And so we have to keep that in mind. No matter what God does, it is done in holiness. It is done in purity. It is done in righteousness. And how the people that he uses respond to the authority he gives them is not God's doing. He knows how they're going to do it, but he puts them there for a purpose. And that purpose could affect your and my life. God permits wickedness to take place. He doesn't ordain it. He doesn't cause it. He permits it. Remember the verse that I used this morning again, Romans 8:28? And we know that all things work together. It doesn't mean that all things are good. It just means that they work together for our good. There is going to be some wickedness. If I let my left hand be wickedness and my right hand be righteousness, God lets these things work together for our good. And so when wickedness comes into our life, God permits that. Oh, he can stop it. He does in many cases. You don't know the places and the times that God has stopped you from enduring some kind of an accident or an illness or a situation that he does not want you to have to experience. And he intervenes to stop that. Your watch stops and the battery dies and you think, okay, I'm late. But maybe there was something there that he wanted you to be late for. And so we have to accept that God wants to do good for all of us. But sometimes he has to permit wickedness or bad things to happen in order that we can take the next step and move to the next level in our relationship with him. And so that's part of what Paul is talking about here in this 13th chapter of Romans. Now, there is a word here, and it's in the verse 2. It's the very last word in verse 2. And sometimes that word is misunderstood. When you hear the word damnation, the first thing that I think about is hell. Yeah, or the lake of fire. That is not what that word actually means. That word could have been translated condemnation, which doesn't have quite the eternal consequence to it, or it has an even better meaning, go before a judge for judgment. So if we go before a judge for our actions, he's gonna make a decision on what, whether those actions were good, bad, or indifferent. And that's what that word means. If we go against him, we may be brought to judgment for our actions. Okay? That makes it a little easier. It doesn't have the eternal consequence that the word damnation brings to my mind. Now, keep in mind that we're talking about directions from the ultimate ruler, the ruler of the universe. We're talking about God ordaining particular people to have authority over us. Now, this morning, as I was reading that's why I stepped over on this side of the pulpit, because there were more ladies over here and the men are over on this side. But, you know, as we were reading about how God made man and God made woman, he made the woman submissive or under the authority of the man. Now, he did that. That was not a mistake. I asked you when we started, could God make a mistake? And all the heads were going this way. Okay. Now, as you think of it that way, I don't want to see any of your ladies' heads going this way. God cannot make a mistake, and he's not going to make a mistake. But we don't understand God. I don't understand Albert Einstein. E equals MC squared. What does that mean to me? Because he's so much smarter than I am. God is so far above our Albert Einstein that there's no comparison. And so we don't think the same way that God thinks. We don't reason. We don't reason at all for most of the time. But we've got to realize that God is the ultimate ruler of the entire universe. If he chooses to bring an asteroid through space to hit the Earth, that's God's decision. And he has a purpose in it. So God is in control. And we are not to contradict what God has told us to do. So we need to listen to God first. As we're reading this 13th chapter of Romans, and he says that we are to listen or we are to obey those in authority over us, he does give us an exception. His word comes first. And if those ruling in authority over us ask us to do something contrary to what the Bible says, what God has said, that we must not obey. And that's where we may run into a situation where we will experience judgment from the authorities here that God has put in charge. So God sees life differently than you and I see it. We see life from the standpoint of time. And God sees life from the standpoint of eternity. Big difference. There is no time in eternity. I can't imagine this. But God lives in eternity. Jesus Christ is in eternity now. And God sees time. We think in time. We live in time. We rationalize in time. Time is something that's a part of us, a part of our life. But for God, there is no such thing. He lived in eternity past. Jesus Christ came and spent a little time here on earth. And then he went back to eternity again. So he sees things differently than we see it. We think we see the here and now, and God sees the hereafter. And so he may make decisions that we think are not in our best interest, but that's not true. God knows best what we need and what will be good for us. So he may want us to make what we would consider the ultimate sacrifice in obeying him. Many men have made that sacrifice in the service of this country. It has gone on for actually 400 years. Revolution back in the 1700s, 1780s. The Civil War in the 1860s. First World War in the 19-teens. Second World War in the 1940s. The Korean War, the Vietnam conflict. Men and women have made the ultimate sacrifice for their nation. We may be asked to make the ultimate sacrifice for our God. Excuse me. And just like Becky and I were talking, we're not reluctant to do that as long as it's quick. But it may not be. So let's look at the rest of those. Let's go for verse 4 through 7 of Romans 13. We're talking about the ruler now that God has put in place. for he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. What if he's an evil man? What if he doesn't see the good that we want to do? We want to tell somebody about Jesus, and he says, no, you can't do that anymore because there is no more free speech. There is no more freedom of the press. There is no more freedom of the church. What do? We tell people anyway. And there may be a consequence to that. Because God will not do evil. He will not condone evil. We must be good in God's sight, not our ruler's sights. Because our rulers are just mere men like you and I. But we must remember we have a heavenly Father. He is the one who has ordained our life. He has given it to you. He's given it to me. He sustains it. Most of us probably ate lunch today. God provided that lunch. He caused the food to grow. That hamburger that you had used to be a cute little calf with a waggly tail. It grew up, got ugly. But you ate them anyway. Okay, verse 5. Wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. And there's the out. Our conscience is what should dictate how we live and what we do. And we've been talking for 3 Sunday mornings about our Christian worldview. Our Christian worldview controls our conscience. It's by what we know about this book. And that is our Christian worldview. And he says, let your conscience be your guide. Verse 6, for this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. I was reading this past week about what some of our forefathers, founders of this nation, and one of them, do you have any relation to John Adams? No, you're no relation to John Adams, okay. Keep that in mind, folks. He's not presidential material. But some of our forefathers understood that we must pay tribute. And they made a ruling, and it came from the Bible, that the church is not to pay taxes, that pastors are not supposed to be taxed for being pastors. I do pay taxes, by the way, folks, just like all the rest of you. But the church is not supposed to be taxed because, you see, the power to tax is the power to destroy. And I'm telling you that because, depending on what decision is made on Tuesday, if certain people are promoted to authority in government, they're going to start taxing the churches. And remember, the power to tax is the power to destroy. And that comes from the time of our forefathers back in the 1700s. 1780s. And it was built on a principle. Churches are never supposed to be taxed. Now, all of that can change. And I'm sure it will at some point. So if a government can tax you, it can destroy you. And there are states where, you know, the taxes are 50, 60%. And how can you live on 40%? Not the way you plan on living. And so we have to keep that in mind. But God is in control. He is the one who puts the people there. Let's go on, verse 6. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore unto all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. There's only one person worthy of our honor, and that's God. That's Jesus Christ. Even the Holy Spirit is worthy of our honor. And God commands us, according to the dictates of our conscience, to render tribute to whom tribute is due. That means that we're to pay taxes. Now, we're talking about and thinking about the rulers and the authorities that God places over us. And I will ask you the question, do you trust God? Do you trust God to do the very best he can for you? Even if the last name begins with a B. We have to trust God. He has put us here for that purpose. If we trust him, we will serve him. If we trust him, we will obey him. We will. Now, that might not be what our desire is, but then we can't live by our desires. We have to live by God's ordinances, and that's what we are looking at. We are looking at the ordinances of God. Do we believe that God is in control, or is Tuesday completely out of his hands? No, he's in control. And so, you see, folks, we don't have to be upset. We shouldn't be upset. We can be, I hate to use this word, but we can be concerned. That's sort of like the word worry. You know, we're not supposed to do that, but we get concerned. Okay? And we have to realize every one of us sitting here tonight is part of God's plan. Every one of us sitting here tonight is part of God's plan. Now, we can go along with it, or we can resist it, kicking and screaming. And we just have to remember, he's God. He's sovereign. He's in control. He's trustworthy. The question tonight is for each one of us is, are you willing to accept the perfect will of God for your life? Are you willing to do that? And I believe that most of us are not really ready for the perfect will of God. Hear what I'm saying? I believe that most of us are not really ready for the perfect will of God because we still have things that we want to do and that we want to accomplish because we think it will please us and be a blessing to us to do that. But as we meet together here, one of the reasons that I'm sharing with you about the Christian worldview is so that you will be willing to accept what God has for you. And that will be a part of that. Lacey, I'm seeing somebody moving in the... Is that okay? Everything okay? Oh, okay. Many people shy away from the book of Jeremiah because the book of Jeremiah is somewhat hard to understand. It's a sad book. It's not a book where you rejoice and, you know, oh, whoopee, things are going to be great. No, Jeremiah spent a lot of his life in a dungeon because he told the truth and the king didn't want to hear it. So he put him in a dungeon. And some of those dungeons, he was neck deep in muck. And they were pretty ugly places. So a lot of people don't like to read the book of Jeremiah. It's a sad book. It's a difficult book to understand. But Jeremiah has said some things that I want to, two verses that I want to share with you tonight out of the book of Jeremiah. Every book that God has written in the Bible, every one of them has some good stuff. There's no bad stuff there overall. But it has some good stuff. And in the book of Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 32, that's one of the better areas in the book of Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 32, 17, Jeremiah is talking to God. And he makes this statement. He says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. There is nothing too hard for thee." Nothing too hard for thee. That's Jeremiah observing who God is. And then in the same chapter, verse 27, God replies to Jeremiah. And God says this, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" And you know, we all know the answer to that question. There's not. No matter what, there's not. Nothing is too hard for God. Now, people, we're serving a big God. We belong to a great God. Our God can do anything, even protect a faltering nation if he chooses to. He can deliver us if he chooses to. But are we willing to accept his will no matter what he chooses to do? And to be honest with you, that's scary. It is. It's scary. But we're still God's children. No matter what happens on Tuesday, no matter what happens on Wednesday or Thursday or Friday, we are still God's children. And that will not change if we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Now, in the 37th Psalm, we have this reassurance from God through David. Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24. Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24. "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." Oh. God's got a hold of you. He's got your life. He's not going to let you fall. He's going to take care of you. You want to be protected by the Lord? Then according to this passage in Psalms, you just need to be a good man or a good woman. That's all you got to do. I'd ask you to keep in mind what you know to be the plan of the Lord for the last days of his church. We've talked about it. We've read it. And we all know what the last days of the church are all about. Maybe we're getting close. Maybe we are moving into those days. I don't know. Maybe they won't be for years yet. But Paul has told us, remember, Paul's the one who wrote this passage and in Romans, and Paul has told us what we can be expecting. Let's just turn there right now, just to remind everybody, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you've been in Romans, you're one book back. 1 Corinthians 15. Let's start at verse 50. This is Paul writing to tell the church, Paul, who was going to be martyred in Rome. He was going to have his head cut off, and he did. But he wrote this as an encouragement to the church. He says, beginning of verse 50, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." When he talks about sleeping, he's talking about dying. We shall not all die, but we shall. Some of us will be changed. "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." And folks, we sing victory in Jesus, and that's what we're singing about. That's where our victory is. Our victory is in Jesus. He's already won the victory. He's just waiting for the time for us to come. Verse 55 says, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." What you do for the Lord, He's going to reward you for. And that's not why you're doing it. You're doing it because you love Him. And He has said to do these things, and so we're doing them. That's what Paul said. And He has given us a job to do right here. In this place, we should keep on doing as long as we can. We are promised in this passage of Scripture that is all we just need to read Corinthians that we just read, and we're going to be victorious. We're to be steadfast. That means that we're to be consistent. We're to do those things that we know we're supposed to do. We're to be steadfast. And what have we been doing? We've been attempting to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with our communities. We had that sign going out there for almost 3 years. You ladies were programming that sign. And wait till you see. Wait till you see what can happen next. Now, yeah, I got hit by lightning. Now, did God do that or did the devil do that? I don't know, and I'm not going to attribute it to either one of them. It got hit by lightning. Now, on November 5th, we're going to have a Thanksgiving dinner here. We're going to have the morning service, and when the morning service is done, we're all going to go out that front door, and we're going to go out here into this parking lot, and I want you to see what can be done. Because there's going to be, the sign company is going to be here, and they're going to have two signs for you to see. The size of what we want to put out here. Yes. And they're going to show you what we can do. And you're going to see that there, we thought we were communicating. Now we can communicate in full color. We can put a picture up, and we can put an entire Bible verse on that picture. And people going by, they don't have to wait for it to scroll. It'll be right there. Impress the brain, impress the eyes. And folks, we can continue to do that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to everybody who passes here. We have a limited group that we can minister to in here, but we can minister to 40,000 people out there every day. Think of how this ministry can impact our community. So on the 15th, before we eat our Thanksgiving supper, I want you to see, so that you can decide which sign we want to do. He's going to bring two, and they're going to be fully working. Yes. Yes, it will be protected against lightning. It will also be guaranteed for a full 5 years. And if lightning hits it, each panel, just put a wrench in, turn it, the panel lifts out, you put a new panel in there, and it's fully operational again.
Did you get anything for that?
Pardon?
Did they take that one back on a exchange?
No, Becky, that one is cooked. Yeah, put a fork in it, it's done, okay? So folks, God wants us to see what we can do. He wants us to get a vision for what we can do. And we can minister in some ways you've not even dreamed about yet. You know, the sign down here at the park, this will be like that. Full pictures. It will come with 6,000 photos or pictures that we put on there. And there's another 10,000 available on the internet. So you can put a picture up of Jesus Christ, and then you can put a total verse on that picture. And it's just fabulous what can happen. But I want you to see this for yourself before we ask you to commit which one you want. Okay? And that's what we're going to do. We're going to do that on the 15th of November. So you be praying about that. Now, some of us deacons have already looked at this. We've already seen this. The guy's been here before. But he's coming back on the 15th. He'll be here at noon. We'll go look and see what it is. There'll be no decisions made that day. But I just want you to see what's available. Now, ladies, you've been programming it, sitting in a chair out in the shade. These new signs can be programmed from anywhere in the world. On your computer. We will have our own security code. It will have a satellite cell phone in it, so that we can program it from anywhere in the world, and we can change it moment by moment if you want to. And so, people, God is going to make it possible for us to continue to minister. We just have to get a big enough vision. If our vision's not big, the results won't be big. But God wants us to do that. So we are abounding right now in the work of the Lord. We are having joy in the fellowship of the Lord. God is doing so much for this church. We should be so thankful. And I'm so glad Thanksgiving is coming, because We'll have a reason to give thanks, lots of reason to give thanks. So we're to continue to provide a facility to serve as a home to River Point Christian Academy and River Point Christian Preschool. The fact that you folks give your tithes makes it possible for us to maintain our facility so that they can use it. And they are ministering for the Lord. They're teaching young men and young women to trust Jesus. As part of our ministry here, as part of your ministry, some of the stuff you're doing, some of our ladies have been going over there teaching. And they appreciate that, and they enjoy that. And you are impacting lives that you don't even realize. But just imagine the number of lives we could be impacting. And so it's just a matter of us having the vision. So we should continue to provide the things we're doing and do the things we're doing. And someone might ask, but what if things don't work out so that we can't do these things? So who's in control? That's right. Do we trust him? Is he our Heavenly Father? Are we his children? Then let's live like his children. Let's live like we belong to him, that he is our Heavenly Father. He's going to take care of us. He's going to direct us. He is going to bless this ministry as long as we do what he wants us to do. All of us. What you do is going to affect our ministry here. What I do is going to affect our ministry here. So we want to keep from sin. We want to try and keep our lives as pure as we can. And if we discover there's something in our life we don't like, it shouldn't be there, we need to confess. So that when we come here, we're ready to worship a holy God, a powerful God, a God that can do anything, a God that nothing is too hard for. And folks, that's the God we serve right now. That's our God. Let's tell other people about him. Let's share him with others. Let's tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. God can't and doesn't make mistakes. He has a plan, and that plan is right on track to get us home with him. Keep that in mind. That's our goal. The only reason a person wouldn't want God's plan fulfilled would be if they don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Whatever happens in the next few weeks and months, you can be sure that God is in control. Everything is going to go just exactly as he has it planned. Thank you, Father, for loving us so much. Thank you for making life worthwhile, for giving us purposes for living, and Father, for making it possible for us to fulfill those purposes. We thank you, Father, for the love you've shown us, and help us to show love to all the other people that you bring into our lives, and Father, use us to tell others about Jesus. And Father, may they come to know him and love him as we do. And we will praise you, Father, for what you do, because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Tim.